96-87 Iowa, down to 5 seconds. Here comes Smith into the front court. Left wing, Kipper for three. Missed it in the ball game, and the season is over for the Illini. Grant Underwood, Fran McCaffrey meet at midcourt. Hawkeyes beat the Illini twice here in this 17-18 season and knocked the Illini out of the Big Ten tournament. It's Iowa 96, Illinois 87.
And with that, the Illini bow out, and this season's done. Welcome in, everybody, to the Fasteners Etc. postgame show in just a moment. I'm Scott Beatty alongside Matt McCumber, a final time here for the 2017-18 season. We bring you your thoughts. Actually, you bring us the thoughts, your insights, your calls, your texts in just a moment. Illinois, overall, actually a pretty good offensive performance. But Iowa just kept scoring, and the Illini never able to catch them. Let's get our rapid reaction brought to you by Cozad Asset Management and Stocks Office Furniture. Matt McCumber.
Yeah, you know, it's a little sad because I thought, you know, going into the game, I felt good. I liked how the Illini had been playing. Get a road win at Rutgers. And coming into this game, I thought if they could just get stops, they could beat Iowa. And they didn't do that. You know, Iowa has 96 points, and it's all about stops, especially when it comes to tournament time. And if you can't guard and string together stops, not just one or two, but where you can go three, four, five, six stops in a row, that's where you win ball games in the postseason. And it just didn't happen today for the Illini.
And I know it would have been a miracle, but you're always holding on that little glimmer of hope that, hey, maybe they can do something really special in the tournament and make a deep run. Yeah. I thought a win and a competitive performance against Michigan was a great bar for the Illini, but they just didn't have it today. They just didn't have enough, and kind of showed what the theme and the pattern was for this season, all season long. Hey, we want to hear from you, though. You can join us next. Call us on the PNC Bank fan line, 356-9397. Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Certainly break down this game, but also I imagine for everybody, the future is now on your minds. I know there's a lot of text pouring in. Some of you are saying goodbye and good riddance to this season, but what are you looking forward to? What are you concerned about? Where are your hopes? Where are your doubts with Illinois basketball as things move forward from here? And certainly reflecting on this game as well. We'll get you some highlights and some of the post-game comments if you missed those. We're off and running. Fasteners Etc. post-game show is next here on Newstalk 1400 and Light Rock 97.5.
Bryant Evans, Cozad Asset Management.
What is wealth management? To us, it is financial planning and investment execution while controlling risks. We can provide you with investments, tax accounting, insurance, and ongoing financial advice. If you want a trusted and experienced advisor to review your family or corporate wealth management, give us a call. And go Illini.
Securities offered through M Holding Securities, Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Cozad Asset Management, Inc. Cozad Asset Management is independently owned and operated.
Hello, Illinois fans. I'm Maggie McGuire, president of Stocks Office Furniture. Whether you're looking for new office design, seating, tables, storage, or you're upgrading your workspace, Stocks has what you need. We represent Hahn as well as many other manufacturers. Visit our showroom to view our selection of Hahn furniture or online at stocks-inc.com. Our sales and design staff at Stocks want you to love your space. And Hahn has the products. 602 South Country Fair Drive. Go Illini.
The following program is an exclusive sports presentation of Newstalk 1400 and Light Rock 97.5, News Gazette Media Stations.
Fighting Illini game day coverage continues on your flagship home for Fighting Illini athletics. Newstalk 1400, WDWS, and Light Rock 97.5, WHMS. Now, it's your turn on the Fasteners Etc. postgame show. Fasteners Etc. is your partner in inventory management. Call us on the PNC Bank phone line, 217-356-9397, or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, the Fasteners Etc. postgame show with your hosts, Scott Beatty and Matt McCumber.
Jordan keeps the possession alive to Lucas. Back to Kipper for three, and it's good!
Yes.
He got the bounce. Kipper Nichols with a big first half, and the Illini are within three. 24-21 Iowa.
What if I told you, Matt McCumber, that the Illini would score nearly 1.2 points per possession? Would you take it?
I'll take it.
Would you take a scoring percentage of 49% on your possessions?
Yes.
Would you take a turnover percentage of 11?
Absolutely.
Would you take 47% in made three-pointers?
All day.
Would you take just 12 free throws?
No.
Would you take out-rebounded by 20?
No.
And there you have it. Illinois had some really good offensive moments, but not enough of them. And layups, 11 of 22. Iowa wins this one 96-87. And this ball game goes to the Hawkeyes. They advance in the Big Ten tournament. They will see Michigan tomorrow. The Illini will head home from New York City. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Scott Beatty alongside Matt McCumber. The texts are pouring in, and let's get to some of them. Certainly want to hear you on the phone lines as well. 356-9397. 309 texture. Illinois is the dumbest team in the Big Ten. Stupid fouls and don't box out. Brent in Belleville. Well, the bright side is you don't have to do any of these call-in shows for a long time. Thanks for your perseverance through the suffering. Hey, I like the call-in shows. And actually, you guys tend to call in more after losses.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Gives us something to talk about.
Exactly. 314, and there's a lot of textures that are kind of saying, hey, I'm glad that the Big Ten tourney game is over. It's putting us out of our misery. He goes on to say, can't think of a time in my 38 years on this earth that basketball and football are both horrible at the same time. At least they're both consistent. Martin in Montrose says, glad the nightmare is over. Football and basketball and life support. You guys are all in the doldrums right now, and I get it. This could have been better for Illinois. I don't know. When do you turn the page and just start to think, how does this team go forward and how do you get better?
Yeah, I turn the page tomorrow. It starts, you know, you let your guys get back to their rooms and kind of let them decompress a little bit. Maybe, you know, on the flight home as well. And then by the earliest, I say Monday, it's a whole new season. And you gotta take a look at yourself in the mirror and kind of man-to-man say, this is what I need to get better at. This is what I need to work on. This is how we can improve as a team. There needs to be a leader, somebody step up, and then you go out and you do it. Because without that, nothing's going to change.
Illinois has been led by Trent Frazier this year and LaRon Black. And I looked this all up. Trent Frazier finishing with 399 points this season. That's a 12.5-point average. That's good for fourth best ever by a freshman in Illini history, behind only in scoring average Kewan Garris, Corey Bradford, and Deion Thomas. And it was the best freshman scoring average-wise season since Corey Bradford in 1999, and he averaged almost 15 points a game. D. Brown had a 12-point per game average season in 2003.
Yeah, Trent had a tremendous season. I mean, you can just tell when he walked off the court for that final time once he fouled out that, you know, he had to carry a lot of the load throughout much of the season, and, you know, with LaRon too, but he had the ball in his hands the majority of the time. He was the playmaker. He had to make shots when the Illini needed to make shots. And so for somebody like him, a freshman, to come in and have this kind of production on a team where he didn't have a ton of help, it's not like he had senior guys on the wing or down low that you know, could help alleviate some of that pressure from him. Just tremendous for him. And, you know, he's got a very bright future. Continue to work at it, stay healthy. And, you know, I think he could have a chance to be one of the greatest Illini's ever.
Yeah, he caught us all off guard. I think everybody was excited for him to be here. But the talk at the beginning of this year was kind of more, okay, it's going to be Lucas and Smith in the backcourt and Frazier's in there too. And I think you thought he'd be a solid contributor, but wasn't going to be this machine and this leader that he ended up being. What he could be in the next couple of years is you're right. It's something that could be really special, and he could go down eventually as somebody where the jersey is going to be hanging in the rafters. And the difference for him between a guy like Mark Smith his confidence and his swagger, his desire to battle.
Right, and that's what Underwood loves about him. You can just tell that relationship. He's not a big guy, but he still brings the toughness. He has a swagger, the confidence. He has his shoulders up high, head held high. He goes out, gives it his all, and you can tell he wants to win. He wants to be there, and he wants to help his team do whatever it takes to win. And he's a competitor too, which when I was with the Final Four team in 2005, I've never been around guys as competitive as those guys. And I can tell that he's got that competitive spirit in him.
Those kind of guys, they're not just competitive during the games. They'll compete at anything, anytime.
Anytime. We would always go bowling just on a random Thursday night, and it was a knockdown, drag-out fight at the bowling alley, just between between each other, seeing who could get the higher score.
Who was the best bowler on that team?
Darren was really good. Luther was good. And D2. James threw a straight ball, but he had some oomph behind it. And he threw that thing about 20 miles per hour down the lane, and he knocked down some pins. But they took it very seriously. Anything.
All right, our first look at the Body and Soul scoreboard, brought to you by Route 40, by Body and Soul Sports at Route 45 and Curtis Road in Savoy. Also, the final game of the year for Illinois women's basketball. They bow out in their Big Ten tournament to Penn State. Final score, Nittany Lions 83, the Illini 57. The two leaders of that team, Alex Whittinger and Brandy Beasley, each with 21 points in that losing effort. And Nancy Faye's squad never gets a Big Ten win this year. Some rebuilding as well that will have to be done. All right, to the top 25. Most everybody else around college basketball is still playing in their regular season. Remember, this is a week earlier for the Big Ten tournament to be played. Xavier beats Providence tonight, 84-74. The final SEC, Kentucky is up on Ole Miss, 84-69. They're just getting going with Villanova and Seton Hall. They're tied at 11. About to tip is Florida State and Clemson, Houston and SMU, Nevada and UNLV is later on tonight. The other Big Ten game for the tournament today, number 11 Minnesota, number 11 seeded Minnesota, and Rutgers, number 14 seed. It is a 10-8 lead for Rutgers. There's 11 minutes left in the first half.
Not setting the nets on fire.
Wow, we got a slobber knocker going there. All right, so our Body and Soul scoreboard there from Route 45 and Curtis Road in Savoy. We're off and running here, Fasteners, Etc. post-game show. We're getting to your calls next.
You're listening to the Fasteners, Etc. post-game show. Join the conversation by calling us on the PNC Bank phone line, 217-356-9397. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
Lucas, pass, corner. Jordan for three.
Great find.
Drained it from the left corner. Aaron Jordan from the left corner, his second three of the game, and it's 23-18.
Aaron Jordan just had two buckets. They were 6 points, 2 of 3 from beyond the arc. The Illini shoot overall 14 of 30, making 14 three-pointers. Pretty good night for the shooting there for the Illini. That's usually something that Iowa will give you. But the Illini cannot stop Iowa on the other end, and they fall 96-87. The season concludes for Illinois basketball this year. Fasteners, Etc. post-game show here. Let's go to the phones, and first up, it's Dave in Tolono. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right.
I'm not going to complain about Finke anymore. I'm just going to leave it alone. But this team overall is so bad defensively. That's what just bothers me, I think, more than anything. The question that I have is, I would hope that Illinois at some point, yes, you want to have great athletes and all this stuff. We've got to have guys with toughness. That's not measured on a vertical. That's not measured on a jump shot.
Yeah.
Every team needs agitators. And I'm going to give you some examples. Guys like Lucas Johnson, not a great athlete, but he just drove Lute Olson crazy. Guys like Chris Gent. You remember Chris Gent at Ohio State, or Aaron Kraft.
Yeah.
Just guys that just were pests. You hated to play against them. Not great athletes, but they were winners. And they were not guys that could run or jump or outshoot anybody, but just absolute agitators that you never got an and one on them. Never did. And this team, I mean, we're just paper soft. I mean, Underwood is right. And I don't understand. It would be an improvement for Finke and a lot of those guys if they would use all five fouls. Just hit somebody. And I mean in a good way, not in a dirty way,
right,
but
right.
in an aggressive way. They are not, it's like they're afraid to get a bruise or a raspberry or something. Yeah, I mean, I love Tijon and his great defense, Trent and DeMonte, but the rest of them need to go to defensive school. I mean, am I just missing something here? Or every and one, folks, complete. I mean, Finke's greatest defense is holding his hands in the air. I think the guy's being arrested half the time because he certainly isn't playing defense. I mean,
you said you were going to let Finke alone now.
Well, I know. I'm trying to be nice to him because he is a nice young man from everything I've heard.
Oh, yeah.
He's just so poor defensively. I mean, is it just me or am I looking at the game wrong?
I'm with you. I think there needs to be a level of toughness there that just hasn't been there for the line in the last couple years, and it's obviously hurt them. And the guy that comes to mind, yeah, Lucas too, but when I was a freshman manager, Demir Kupalia, he was tougher than nails. He rebounded. He did all the dirty work, and he could step out, hit a three for you. But that, yes, you need to get back to the people like that, players like that.
I think Trent is some of that toughness that you want. What's interesting is this is something that John Gross preached for the last couple of years, and he never really got it. It's something Brad Underwood's preaching.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can teach it or not. It was encapsulated tonight when I think Ebo was called for the foul. It may have been Kipper, but it was just this and one, like maybe it was Moss that went up hard on a rebound, or I'm forgetting. It was in the second half, but Ebo was kind of over him, and it was just this little tap. And he just got an easy and one. It's like, yeah. And Deion said on the radio, like, if you're going to foul him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm with you there, David. Something has to step up. And probably some guys need to get bigger and stronger, too. I give Michael Finke a little bit of a pass because I think he's, by and large, defending out of position for him. Would you agree?
I would agree. For majority of the games, he is trying to guard guys that are just, I mean, let's be honest, they're bigger, faster, and stronger than him.
Yeah, so some of those hands in the air, he's just trying to avoid, because he knows he's undermatched, he's just trying to stop something rather than foul them.
Right, and it does need to get better, though. It's something that needs to be addressed in the offseason. I think it will be addressed, and I think it's what the coaching staff is looking for when they're out on the recruiting trail. I mean, you can find a buster in there, not a buster in a bad way, a buster that's going to come in and be feared by people. Not necessarily score 20 a night, but there is a need for toughness on a team.
Jason and Moline texts in 351-5357. Unless this team somehow finds height, size, and players who are explosive, I really do not see major things changing for this team. Next season, maybe 3 or 4 more wins plus points for this season. Black, Frazier, and some of Kipper. Big negatives, Mark Smith and Finke. Benny says, whether the Illini played Iowa or Michigan, the Illini were going to be knocked out of the first round. I don't blame Brad Underwood, but it's another sad ending and disappointing season for the Illini. Back to the phones. It is our steady companion, Simeon in Norfolk. Hey, Simeon.
Hey, how are you guys tonight?
Good. Thanks for hanging on.
The nightmare is over. It was good to hear Dave. I hope to hear Steve a little bit later. I was upset tonight because I wore my Illini hat watching the game, and I hadn't done that since 2005.
Whoa.
I thought they were going to come out tonight with a little bit more intensity than what I saw. And I really didn't want them to play Iowa because when they played Iowa at home, to me, Iowa's not that good, but they have taller players that just kind of bully their way to the basket on some individual play. And then we find ourselves scrambling, chasing Bohannon. But for the most part, I've been very pleased with the coaching staff, but I was a little upset with them because when I watched Iowa tonight, especially at the beginning, Bohannon is slow. We should have been dogging him all game. And they really didn't have too many other ball handlers. And what Iowa tried to do to counter Tijon and some others, dogging Bohannon, is they'd have a big guy kind of hang back and kind of stand there and get in the way. But I think if we could have attacked him earlier, more in a full court press kind of way, we really could have wore them down because they really, to me, didn't have much. Kipper scored a lot of points. But I felt, and I want to get you guys' opinion on it, I felt that Illinois lost the game on that the play where I'm trying to remember what happened, if we got a rebound or like exactly. It was in the second half. Kipper's coming down on a fast break.
Yep.
Allstark is off to his right.
Yep.
Instead of, I know he had to see him. Instead of passing the ball to him right there, we get the game closer than what it's been all game. I think we turn the corner at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, he continues to the basket and shoots this incredibly tough shot. And then down on the defensive end, he's not in the right position, and it's a five-point turnaround.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to throw my hat at that point.
Yep.
But for me, that was the point where the game was lost. And, yeah, we did get a little closer. But I don't know exactly why we didn't come out early and often just pressing Bohannon. We should have ground him right into the ground because we're quicker, faster. He couldn't handle Tijon. And when we took Tijon, we should have put another guard on him and just wore him out. But we didn't do that and allowed him to get open. But anyway, unlike Dave, I am – or that texter, whoever that texter was, I am – positive about next year. I think we'll have some additional guys, but even with the guys that we stay, if they stay, because they have another year in the season, I think this team will work together during the summertime and they'll get stronger, and that'll make a big difference.
Yeah.
And we need to learn how to use our speed when we're playing against bigger teams. I know, you know.
Timmy, I got to roll here. We got more folks waiting to get on here. But hey, always appreciate you calling in, and look forward to hearing from you again come August and September for football. Okay, thanks for that.
Thanks, man.
Simeon out in Norfolk. We go to Tulsa, and Kenny is on the line. Hey, Kenny.
Hello. Thank you very much for taking my call. I would not agree with Simeon or the previous caller. I have nothing but praise for the team because I have never seen a younger team in any of our history, and I've watched all the Illini games for 50 years, do better than our freshmen and our young men did, and we only have one senior. So I'm not sure where they're coming from, and I'd like to hear your comment about that. And I have one other question about the recruiting next year, so because I'm going to concentrate on the future.
Well, I think you're right to a large extent. I think the question is actually, are there going to be enough pieces around the youth? I'm not as dark on Mark Smith. I think he's just going to make a turnaround. If he can, I think it's mostly mental for him and some strength that he needs to build up as well. But the question is, can there be enough pieces around Io and Trent and LaRon, especially down low?
Yeah.
This team is going to get better. How much better? I don't know. But it's going to be better. That's what happens.
Yeah.
When freshmen become sophomores and sophomores become juniors and juniors become seniors. It's going to improve. That's just how it is.
Absolutely. And, you know, I do agree with you. I think our freshmen have had a great season. I know we were young at some spots. Still have upperclassmen with Finke and LaRon and Allstork. But, you know, I still am optimistic, and I know the future's bright, and it's just going to take this offseason. It's very critical that they're all on the same page and want to be in it together.
You know, some of you have said over the time, you know, this team's not that young. Well, percentage of minutes played by newcomers for Illinois is the most in the conference. They nearly 50%, 48% of the minutes played this year coming into this game was played by somebody who was not on this team last year.
Right. And so, they lost 70% of scoring and 70% of rebounding from last year's team. So, I mean, there has to be – you got to make that up somehow. And it was with guys that majority were not on the team last year.
All right, Kenny, what was your recruiting question?
Yeah, the question about that is can you tell me who the recruits have already signed and who we are looking for as far as – because I think we've got some pretty good – if I recall, we have some pretty good recruits coming in. Can you expand on that a little bit for me?
I think the only one in ink is Io.
He's the only one. He is a five-star point guard out of Chicago, which is always a good thing. I mean, it helps elevate the program and, you know, give some palpable buzz to the team. But obviously they need some height and some toughness and a rim protector. I think that's what they're going at now. There's Austin Trice, who we talked about, 6'7", from Wabash Valley, JUCO player who have 2 years, but he has not committed. And there's some others that they're going after. But right now, Io is the only one that has signed on the dotted line.
Thanks much, Kenny, for joining the program. 356-9397 is the number to call on the Fasteners, Etc. postgame show. That's our PNC Bank fan line, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. How about our Pekin Insurance beyond the expected play of the game? I got to go with Iowa here because I thought this was really critical. It didn't put the game away, but it sort of took the wind out of Illinois' sails. And what do you know? It was Jordan Bohannon.
One shot here for Cook, the and one, 65-61, and he missed the free throw. Rebound, Wagner, out top, Bohannon for three, got it. Oh, that's a killer. Bohannon with a three as they missed the free throw. Brad Underwood wants a timeout. Wagner kept the possession, fired it to Bohannon, who buries the three, and just like that, it's a seven-point game again. Iowa up 68-61.
Bohannon finishes with 25 points, made 5 3-pointers in 7 attempts. And our Pekin Insurance Beyond the Expected play brought to you by Pekin Insurance. For Beyond the Expected coverage and service, contact an independent Pekin Insurance agent today. Visit PekinInsurance.com. More of your calls and texts when we return on the Fasteners, Etc. postgame show. Iowa beats Illinois 96-87.
Finke holds it at the top of the key, gets to Trent. Trent looking to get loose, gets a pick from Finke. Finke now will shoot a three, and yes, got another one. Finke from the right wing for three. Little give and go there with the two men. Fast break, Bohannon down low to Pemsel, stripped and fouled. The Illini back within five.
But the Illini lose 96-87 is the final. Welcome back, Fasteners, Etc. postgame show. Scott Beatty and Matt McCumber here with you. Our final swan song for the year, our final lap, our encore performance. Illinois falls out of the Big Ten tournament, losing to Iowa in the first round. Iowa plays Michigan tomorrow. Final record for Illinois ends up being 14-18 and 4-14 in regular season conference play, but in all Big Ten teams, 4-15 overall. Terry in Champaign says, see any positives from this game? I felt like any of the positives came out of this game are mostly the positives that have come out of the last handful of games here to end this season. You know, Kipper was positive in this game, and he's been up and down. I feel like sometimes he can have this kind of night, 31 points, but the other nights he'll have a clunker, and his head's just not there.
Yeah, my biggest positive for the game and these last couple, probably the last 2 weeks, I thought the decision-making within the offense has gotten a lot better. I think the guys are more comfortable, kind of know their reads now, where guys are going to be open, where there's possible cuts. And tonight they had 23 assists, only 8 turnovers, which is exceptional. And you know, you look at your two guards with Trent and Tijon, and they just are making better decisions with the ball and understanding it more. So I take that as a positive. That's what you want moving forward, and hopefully they can continue to build on that for next season.
Brian texts in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Brian in Nebraska. Bo Borowski, folks, how does this chump still have a job? Didn't the Big Ten suspend him for an entire season recently? Should have never let him come back. The free throw disparity was a joke, totally uneven on opposite ends of the court. Felt bad for the guys, fought hard, but odds weren't in their favor. Two plays that sum up the game. Iowa on offense, somebody shoots a free throw from the left wing. Cook crashes into the lane, pushed Kipper under the basket, wraps up his arm, and throws Kip down, and a foul on Ebo. Yeah, that's the one of the plays I was talking about earlier. Then second one, Tijon goes to the offensive glass, gets dogpiled on by two Iowa players, resulting in an injury, no call. The fans in New York there for Illinois were really upset with that, too. I remember watching that going, somehow, there had to be a whistle blow in there somewhere.
Right.
And Brian says, I thought Underwood might get tossed on that one. Last two thoughts. First, not happy with 3 more years of Garza the Grouch. And second, hashtag, we will win. So it never seems right when there's this kind of free throw disparity, but I keep coming back to Illinois has run into this now every game.
Yeah.
So something's wrong with what Illinois is doing.
Yeah, you know, it's defending without fouling, and it's it's a science that takes time, especially within Underwood's system, because of how they guard. They are up in their man with basically no space between them, and you cannot put two hands on them. It's just an automatic foul these days. And I'm not saying all the fouls were tonight, but I did think there were some fouls that did not go the Illini's way. I never make excuses on the refs. It's just part of it. But I thought the Illini were equally as aggressive to the rim at times tonight and didn't get kind of the same calls that Iowa did when they went to the rim. But, you know, it's part of it, and you can't worry about it. You just got to play.
Fasters, et cetera, post-game show. You can call us or text us. We're back in a moment.
It's the Fasteners, Etc. postgame show on News Talk 1400 and Light Rock 97.5. Call us on the PNC Bank phone line, 217-356-9397, or send a text to the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
Frustrating early. Offensively, Iowa was very sharp. We got out of rhythm. It took us a little while to get going. I liked our looks. We made 14 threes tonight. You know, that's a great number for us, but you can't get out-rebounded 20 and expect to win, period, in any kind of game. The game was decided on the glass, and you have 8 turnovers. You shoot 50% almost, but when you get out-rebounded and then you allow them to shoot 57% or 56%, you're in trouble. So.
Yeah, it resulted in a loss there for the Illini, 96-87, as Brad Underwood shares his thoughts after the ball game. Illinois season comes to an end. You heard the phone numbers, 356-9397, PNC Bank phone line. Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. It's Jim in Rockford now. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. All right. Final thoughts for the year.
Well, it was disappointing to hear his comments. He was talking like it was a December game. I'm just mesmerized that here we are, the last game of the season, going up against probably our most hated Big Ten opponent, and they just come out and play like that. No desire to rebound, just totally idiotic fouls. Again, it's just a microcosm of the year with this team. They have flashes where they look like they're improving, and then they go out and they do something like this. And, guys, Iowa stinks. But the way Illinois plays Iowa this year, both of these games, I mean, they averaged 100 points against Illinois this year.
Yeah.
We could play them 10 times, they're going to beat us 9 times. And remember, they're as young as we are.
Yeah, they are.
So we can sit here and talk about AO coming in. There's no one else coming in right now. So we can keep talking about another guard coming in. I don't know how that helps with fouls. I don't know how that helps with rebounds. The only thing I hear of semi-excitement on the recruiting front is that 6'7" JUCO, but admittedly, he can't shoot from outside of 4 feet. So this is the stuff we're supposed to be excited about. Like, all of a sudden, the light bulb's going to go on next year, and we're not going to commit stupid fouls, and all of a sudden, we're going to learn how to rebound. I'm sorry. I'm so fed up, and I'm so glad it's over.
Do you think you'll be following next year then?
Well, I'm stupid. Of course I will. I mean, you know, it's
stupid and honest. Heart. There you go.
It's like a drug. I wish I could get rid of it, but right. I can't. But right. I'm just so fed up with the idiocy and his nonchalant. I'm guessing Brad's probably just resigned and he's happy it's over. But that press conference was disappointing. I mean, that was the response, like you're just coaching freshmen for the first time 3 weeks into the season.
What would you have wanted him to say?
I wanted him to call out the idiocy of the fouls. He made the reference about the rebounding. He goes, you just can't get out-rebounded by 20. You know what? It's more than that. Maybe explain why it happens, how they don't get into position and they haven't gotten a position all year, and how he's too worried to break on the defensive side, and he doesn't have enough of his short body guys crashing. That's style on his part. That's how he coaches, and we get the effects of it. Because we don't have guys in position, and we're undersized as it is, that's on him. But somehow that's just mysteriously going to get better.
Yeah. So overall, it sounds like you're not a fan of this scheme and this coach.
No, listen, here's my thing with Underwood. With talent, I think something can happen here. But I still say with the players you're dealt with, you coach them to what they can do.
Yeah.
And it was almost like a foregone conclusion to let this happen. The rebounding never got better. And guys, you remember 25 years ago who arguably our best rebounder was in the early 90s, outside of Deion Thomas, it was T.J. Wheeler, all 6 foot three of them. So why was he able to rebound?
Yeah, a lot of desire.
It's attitude and desire.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's part the players. I don't know if it's the system. But what's loud and clear is this went on for 4 months and did not get better.
Hey, Jim, we appreciate you always joining in. And, you know, of course, we've got other shows you can weigh in,
yep.
But certainly look forward to hearing you again in the fall.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Yeah, we'll talk soon, guys.
Okay. Jim in Rockford, and it's 356-9397. Are others of you that dark on this, or do you see a little more sunny for what's to come?
Yeah, he has a point on, you know, the system and the players you're dealt with. I think sometimes coaches are so ingrained in what they do that they believe this is their system and their system works, and they are kind of short-sighted and feel like, hey, you know, I can take these guys and mold them into how I want them to play. And even Underwood has said, you know, I've been a little stubborn about that at times, and it's all fine. I know he's trying to put in a system, but at the same time, you have to look at your talent and what is the best way to put my guys in position to make them succeed, to let them succeed. And so it's a song and dance. It's not, there's no one cut way to do it. Maybe, you know, you try it a little bit in the non-con and see how it works. But there were times I think, yeah, that the system could have been molded a little bit around the talent that they had. But all in all, you know, at the end of the day, the talent needs to be upgraded too. And we've talked about it. And it will be interesting to see how the roster looks here in the next month and 6 months, because there will be changes, I would imagine. And, you know, it'll have to start all over again with the process.
Bruce in Houston texts, "We are slow, but at least we are weak. Time to forget this season. It is now time for Lovey to step it up a couple notches with football. At Underwood better be on a plane tonight talking to grad transfer centers." Bruce from Houston, but listening in Calgary. Hey, we're international tonight.
Wow,
thanks a lot, Bruce.
It.
Appreciate it. 815 texture says, "Kipper had a great offensive game. Sadly, he gives up most of what he scores back on the defensive end. The five-point play mentioned earlier was a great example." Yep. Recruiting question, any truth to rumor that Okoro might have to reclassify to the 2018 class? We need a big badly. Don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Francis Okoro out of Normal West.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
To have him.
Yeah, I haven't heard that, but, you know, if it's possible, I guess, you know, it could happen, but I don't know his current situation with that, so I'd have to look into it a little more.
Mitch from Barry, thank you so much for having a post-game show after all the Illini men's basketball games. Will you have a post-game show next season? I sure hope you do. You guys do a great job. Thank you, Mitch. Mitch, yeah. Checks in the mail. Yep, we'll have post-game shows next year. And a 217 texture says, "I think the best case comp for Mark Smith is somewhere between Chester Frazier and Calvin Brock. Probably never a star, but hope he keeps working hard." Do you remember those guys and what you felt like their ceilings were compared to Mark Smith now?
Yeah, it's a little different. Calvin was a highly athletic, you know, guard. I don't think Mark Smith is that athletic on his level. And it's just not going to happen overnight. They're just two different players. With Chester, I think their bodies maybe the similarity there. And, you know, I know Chester came in here and didn't really score. I think I'd maybe consider him more to a Tijon, dog on the defense, and which was great, and you know, a leader, but not necessarily. Mark didn't score probably what he wanted to, so I guess you could say, you know, Chester there too, but I still have hope for him, I think he's can be really talented on the offensive end, a better scorer than Chester, a better scorer than Calvin Brock. We just haven't seen it yet. So I think his ceiling could go beyond those players, but time will tell.
Let's go down to St. Louis where we find JD on the PNC Bank phone line. Hey, JD.
How you doing, guys?
Good, thanks.
A couple quick points. Been a lot discussed about the defense this year. Now, I don't know if this is the right system. What I do know is Iowa put up 96 points, and they're one of the worst teams in the country. So how can that defense – I hear coaches talk about, well, it's hard to play against Illinois, and they do this, and they do that. Well, the bottom line is 96 points against a team that's no good. Second point is about the roster. You guys lost my faith in you when you said T.J. Lucas should be held over next year as one of the best five players on the roster. My feeling is T.J. Lucas is a terrible player. He misses the first three layups.
I don't recall saying that.
Yeah, I've never.
I guess I'm not saying that. I haven't thought that one out, so I don't recall saying that.
No,
but
two, 3 weeks ago, I asked you guys what five players would you hold over for next year's roster, and you had one of you had T.J. Lucas on that list.
Okay. It might have been when Michael Kaiser was on, but
yeah, it could have been. Yeah, it might not have been. You know, I'm not.
But it's regardless. Your stance is that you don't want to see him.
Absolutely. You know, he misses the first three layups of the game. He misses a front end of a 1-on-1 late in the game. He misses you know, the game's on the line. Where I think it's a two possession game. He's wide open, and he doesn't even draw iron. I mean, you can't have a player on the floor that cannot hit the iron and when the game's on the line.
You can if you have four other scorers.
Well, then he shouldn't be taking the shot.
Yeah. He threw an air ball out there. All right, anything else, JD?
Had a critical. No, that's all. Thanks, guys.
Okay,
thanks.
356-9397 is our PNC Bank fan line. Okay, our keys to the game are brought to you by Hickory Point Bank in Champaign, the unlimited value of the right team. One banking expert will steer you in the right direction. A whole team of them will take you to your destination, Hickory Point Bank Invested. Also brought to you by the Pella Window Store. A lot of low-hanging fruit on this one.
Yeah, you know, I just go back to, and it kind of is from JD, that the stops. You got to get stops. And yes, they turned over Iowa 24% of their possessions, which is great. You want that. You want to see that happen. Hopefully it leads to more. They had 18 turnovers, and it only allowed to 22 points off those turnovers. So you want a little bit more points off the turnovers. But still, 24% is great. But at the end of the day, you're still not getting stops. They scored on over 50% of their possessions. And, you know, just think if you didn't turn them over like that. So it's can they use their defense to where they are able to create the turnovers but then get stops? That's the next step within his system. And it did not happen very much this year. They gave up the highest 2-point field goal percentage in the entire Big Ten throughout the season. So that's got to change. That's got to be – you know, instead of giving up, I think it was around 48% on the opponent's field goal percentage. You know, it's got to be in the 40s or high 30s if you want to win games.
I will go right to the sage, Lauren Tate, who said it before the game in his keys. He says, I was going to give you shots. They always do. They don't play very good defense. Illinois puts up 47% shooting in three-pointers tonight. They shoot 49% for the ball game. Iowa doesn't really that stellar, and defensively, he said, you can't let those guys go to the line like you did the first time these two teams did. Iowa shot 41 free throws tonight, and that's the difference. Yeah. Now, whether you want to say that's officiating tonight or Illinois' bad self-control and discipline or both, that was huge. They made 34 points at the free throw line. Yeah, Illinois made 9.
Kills you.
Ball game. Keys to the game brought to you by the Pella Windows Store. You can find them on Country Fair Drive online at PellaOfChampaign.com for all your window and door needs. We got more calls and texts, fasteners, etc. Post game show.
I kind of use this as you know, a little energy for us, you know, for next year. You know, we're right there. You know, this was a hell of a season for our guys. I had an awesome season playing with these guys. You know, these guys are my brothers. You know, we worked really hard. But feeding off what Kip talked about, you know, next year we got a few guys coming in. I think we just got to pull those guys in and show them what it is to play for Illinois, you know. Fighting Illini, you know, obviously new coaching staff, like you said, new system. So we just got to bring everyone together, you know, just play as one unit.
That's Illinois' leading man, Trent Frazier, talking after this ball game. The Illini's season comes to an end as they lose to Iowa 96-87. Scott Beatty and Matt McCumber with you, Fasteners, etc. Post-game show. Back to the phones. PNC Bank fan line is 356-9397. It is Steve in Champaign. Hey, Steve.
Hi, guys. Three quick things. Number one, I'd rather have T-John Lucas leading a fast break over Frazier any day.
Really?
He's a better passer. He gives the ball up all the time. He never tries to take it all to himself. And
then I want him giving that ball up to Trent Frazier on the fast break.
Well, that's fine. He'll give it up to whoever's open. He's going to give it up. Trent doesn't give it up half the time.
It's because he's a scorer. He's not supposed to.
Just a minute. If he's leading the break and somebody's covering him, he has to give the ball up.
Well, I see your point, but he can beat his man. That's what I'm saying. All right.
Anyway, second thing, T-John needs to work on his free throws.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. I've never seen a high school kid that can't make a free throw, ever. By the way, Coach Underwood said on what it was in the newspaper. No, on the radio. I can't remember. He said we cannot defend if they get the ball into the middle because of size. And Michael really can't play too much post defense. And he said, therefore, we put the onus out front on the guards and tell our guys to get right up in their face and go with them, and that's why they do that. And I'm wondering where Aaron Jordan was the last 10 minutes of the game when they needed three-point shooters on the court.
Line and I were trying to get stops.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have put him in, maybe give him another rip, too, just to see if he could have gotten a shot or two. But, yeah, I think – you know, it probably comes down to a defensive stance there, but, you know, I know we still were giving up points, so it's kind of pick your poison.
Texter does point out that Trent Frazier had 6 assists tonight and 13 points. Okay, another Steve in Peoria. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Scott, Coach. Thanks for having me on.
Always.
Not going to talk about tonight's game. You know, everybody's talking about it. I just kind of want to talk about the future. First of all, I'd like to thank Simeon for all his A-plus knowledge throughout the year. It's always good to hear from him. And hope everything work out well for him out east and see him next year, hear him on the phone. But, you know, like I've said before, I believe in this staff as far as them developing players, the players that we have. I don't think that everyone who was who played tonight and was on in uniform tonight will be back next year. That's just my feeling. I think we'll have at least 3 or 4 scholarships to play with for the upcoming year. I like our guards, our perimeter players, with Io coming in. If we get the Ramey kid, that's fine. If we don't, I'm good with what we have. I've said all along, we need a couple big studs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to protect the rim, to rebound, you know, 40-20 tonight, that says it all. You know, I was trying to keep track of the Iowa players and their heights, and I thought, if I remember, there's at least 5 or 6, they're 6'9 or taller. You know, and I'm not saying that they were 4 or 5-star recruits, but, you know, they fit the system, and, you know, those are big bodies, the bang, okay? So I feel good about next year because these guys, I think they know the – second year of the system, they're going to work hard in the gym, and like I say, the coaches are going to develop them, and we will have some new players that we don't know about yet. And both guys in the press conference tonight, and I know it was a slip of the tongue or whatever, they said, well, you know, we've got guys coming in next year. I'm like, do they know something?
They always do.
You know, it's not, you know, but whatever. So, and I just want to thank you guys. You do a wonderful job. Thanks for having me on all year. And I wish you guys the best. Hey, Coach, can we get you what do we have to do to get you on the staff next year? That's where
hey,
you need to be.
I would love to be there. I'll just stick around, see what happens, and I actually try.
Just start
it in the
showing
office.
Up.
Yeah,
see
you know,
what
I should
happens.
Just go to practice. I bleed orange and blue,
he's just here.
Yeah, you know, it would be a dream come true. For
kind
me.
Of what happened, how you got on this show. You just started showing up in the building. And just
hey, well, I'm glad he did, and Scott, I'm glad you let him hang out with you
yeah,
after game.
Absolutely,
you guys do a great job. Thank you for having me on, and hopefully talk to you next year. God willing. And one other thing, Scott, now, I know we're talking about football season, but you know I'm not on that Lovie train, so Lovie better get going. You better do something.
He brought in some
thanks,
good
guys.
Coaches. All right, thanks a lot, Steve.
He's from Peoria.
That's Steve in Peoria. Okay, let's go to Jeff, who's in New York City. But, Jeff, I understand you weren't at the game.
Unfortunately, well, I was going to say unfortunately not, but the way it turned out is probably fortunate. Both my wife and I had some other obligations today that kept us away. We were planning to make it, but, you know, last minute things crop up, especially here sometimes.
I see.
But I wanted to just echo most of what Steve just said. I was listening to Dion's comments after the game, and I thought he said it very well, that instilling a new system and getting guys to buy in and getting guys as young as Trent is and the others to buy in is a positive step. And I was glad to hear somebody like Steve echo that, because I'm not one of the guys on the dark side, as you alluded to earlier.
Dion's always on the sunny side too, and I mean he's a great ambassador for all that. Yeah,
well, yeah, but he's also prescient too sometimes, I think. And I want to just throw out one comparison here, which is I'm glad we're not Missouri, because if you look at the state that program is in going into the early, before any games had been played with Porter Jr. and everything else, there were people saying that they deserved to be the number one team in the country. Well, look how this turned out. And also look at the way a couple of recruits that landed in the state of Missouri have turned out. Jordan Goodwin seems to have been quite a problem off the court for St. Louis U. Tillman hasn't exactly been a model of decorum for Martin. I think Konzo Martin is overmatched as a coach at this level. I think there's only really a handful of coaches, and you can talk about their ethics all you want if you want to, but there's only a handful of coaches that can really get guys who are going to be lottery picks to buy into a system. The names that come to mind, as I say, are not probably some of the most ethically highly regarded guys, but you think about Calipari, Roy Williams. I think Bill Self is just kind of starting to get the hang of some of these kinds of things at yeah. Kansas. But I don't think Martin has a handle on it yet. I think that the way that the Bragging Rights game went is indicative of the way that it's going to go for quite a few years. And I think our program is in good hands with Coach Underwood. I will certainly give him a little bit of slack.
It's year one.
At least get, excuse me?
It's year one.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think that, I just have a feeling that I believe it was Brian who wrapped it up by saying better times are on the way. I agree with that, and I hope that there's more of us who will do that.
Certainly hope so. Hey, appreciate your thoughts, Jeff. Call again, okay?
Will do. Thanks, guys. Have a nice night.
Thank you.
All right, Jeff there in New York City. Konzo Martin, that was always the question about him, was he probably can recruit, can he coach?
Yeah, well.
Still you're one
on
for
it.
Him.
Yeah.
You're one for him, and he lost a big play, a really talented player to injury for most of it. All right, let's go body and soul scoreboard here. We have not updated that in a while. Hey, back it off there, would you? Just a second. Jeez. Okay. Rutgers leading Minnesota 39-32. They're into the second half, 6:24 left, and that is The 11 and 14 seed, Minnesota just got a jam, cut the deficit to 5. Top 25, Xavier over Providence, 84-74. Kentucky beats Ole Miss, 96-78. Halftime, Villanova leads Seton Hall, 24-18. Are you serious? That's, well, okay. I'm looking at the right thing there. That's okay. Clemson edging Florida State right now, almost to the half, 30-29. Houston over SMU, 27-19 in late in the first half. Nevada and UNLV will tip later on tonight. We'll get you a look ahead on our airwaves when we come back. Also, want to kind of put a bow on this whole thing, our final segment for the final Fasters, Etc. post-game show for this year. It's Newstalk 1400 and Light Rock 97.5. A lot of fans not happy with where the program is right now, and Brad Underwood isn't either. He wants to see more, so you can take solace in that. Scott Beatty and Matt McCumber here with you for a final segment of the Fasteners Etc. post-game show. Illinois' season comes to an end, 96-87. The Hawkeyes beat the Illini in the Big Ten tournament. The Illini will not play in the month of March. Your headline tomorrow for the News Gazette sports page is just plain mad, because there's no madness in March.
Yeah, that hurts. It's almost sacrilegious for the basketball gods not to be playing in March. So,
and they won't be doing it again next year. Jim Delaney said so. Okay. could have told you that wasn't going to work. 217 Texter says on the Castle Heating Cooling text line, three things I will never comprehend: quantum physics, the vastness of the universe, and how Mark Allstork averaged 19 points a game last year. Whew. Okay. I want to tell you first here what's coming up on our airwaves, our final body and soul scoreboard from Route 45 and Curtis Road in Savoy. A high school score to get you: Monticello beats SJO for the second time this year, and in the one that counts the most. 47-38 is the final. The Sages advancing in sectional play. SJO's season comes to an end. Both in the conversation. A lot to head to Peoria. We'll see what comes out for them come Friday. You've been following the schools around here?
Yeah, not as much as I would have liked, but I know Monticello's got a really good team, and I know they were in Peoria last year, so... I think they're a senior-laden team, and they've got as good a chance as anybody else around the area. So good luck to them, and hopefully they can bring back a state title.
On our airwaves, this is our final network broadcast. So on our FM side, our final Illini sports coverage for the season. We'll be back with football next fall. As for our AM side, there's plenty more that continues as we go into the spring sports seasons. This weekend, Illinois baseball plays 3. They're going to play at U.S. Bank Stadium, site of the Super Bowl a few weeks ago. It's part of the Pac-10 Big 12 Challenge up in Minneapolis. 11 a.m. first pitch Friday morning, Illinois against UCLA. Saturday against Arizona at 3 o'clock. Sunday against Washington at 2 o'clock. And we'll get you some softball as we go on into late in the month of March and into April and rest of the baseball season as well. Yours truly on the next few games for baseball, and then Dave Lone will take over. So hope you can catch us there. All right, a couple of things I want to mention here as we close out this season. First of all, and I think this is most important, a lot of times people talk to me about this post-game show, football and basketball, and say, well, how do you deal with, man, how that must be tough dealing with the phone calls. And I don't really get that. I want you to know that everybody that texts in and calls in, I like it. We appreciate it. Yeah. You are what makes this show. And you, if you don't call in and you don't text, that's fine too. You just, as a listener, make this show. Really do enjoy it. And it's fun to talk about it because we're just sitting here talking about the Illini, talking about the game. Obviously, we'd like to be talking about better success for Illinois.
Right.
And maybe that will come. But really want to make sure that you know that we enjoy what we're doing here.
You know, I had an absolute blast, and I appreciate you guys having me on and trusting me to do the job, because I'd never done radio before. So this has just been an eye-opening experience for me, and I've really enjoyed it. And I appreciate all the listeners, the calls, text, and again, you know, just echo what Scott said, you know, we thank you for that, and you make it fun for us, and You know, hopefully, I don't know what the future holds for me, but you know, I've had a really, really good time. So thank you.
Well, and it's certainly we know you've talked about how you got here, and this was not your plan to even be here in Champaign Urbana, and life had and took other turns, and
right.
And I certainly don't wish you to be in the circumstances you're in with the loss you experienced in your family, but the fact that you're here has been great. You've been a blessing to us, and glad to have you here for as long as you're here.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's for a kid that grew up going to Alana games since he was born, basically, and you know, I would always listen to the post game show in the car on the way back to Tuscola. So this was kind of a, you know,
I haven't been on this show that long.
No, right. It's kind of been a dream for me to say that you know, I always listen with my dad, so I know he's listening up there and you know, proud of me. So. Very, very cool experience.
Some other folks to thank for our Illini game day coverage throughout the whole year. The folks that are behind the scenes that you don't really hear on the air that really make this thing run. Tamara McDaniel, one of our producer engineers, Blake Landa, Jason Liggett. Evan Kahn is frequently been a producer engineer, but also has helped us with grabbing highlights and being here during any of our home games so that we can be over at the stadiums watching things there. So a big thanks to Evan, and he's been a contributor on this program. Michael Kaiser certainly has hosted and co-hosted, and Tim Dittman as well. Thanks to those guys. Ed Bond keeps us running here. Thank you to Ed for all his work as our chief engineer. Brian Barnhart has been a part, obviously, of the Illini Network coverage, but also our pregame coverage. He's chimed in on post games as well. He brings us the coaches' corners and some of the conversations, and checks in with us from the arenas. Thanks to, going back to football, Martin O'Donnell and Kerry Davis from basketball, Doug Altenberger and Dion Thomas. You guys are great as well. Fantastic analysts. Thanks for Mike Hale and his leadership and setting this all up as our general manager here. Certainly appreciate it. Our partners at Learfield, thank you to you as well. Luke Reif is general manager here locally. Keith Sampson, executive producer of the Learfield stuff. Certainly appreciate all that as well. But once again, most importantly, it's you, the listener, that makes this happen. Also, our advertisers, you guys are great. You've been supportive through thick and thin with Illinois, and hopefully, as everyone is saying, better days to come with wins, because I know that's a win-win for everybody as well. So that is a big thank you to everybody. Appreciate it for a final time here on the Fasteners Etc. post-game show. Illinois falls to Iowa 96-87. We'll have another Fasteners Etc. post-game show come this fall for Illinois football. Matt?
Hey, buddy. I appreciate it. It's been great with you and Michael Kaiser here in the studio. And, you know, I really look forward to just have the faith, Illini fans. Keep the faith and know that this thing will get turned around and better days are ahead, like Brian Barnhart said.
And, yeah, thank you as well. We appreciate it. And we will... You will not be a stranger on our airwaves.
No, I would love to come on anytime.
Yeah, we will have you on in other forums. All right, thanks, everybody. Be well. We'll talk to you again. Enjoy the rest of your evening and enjoy the off season. Take care.
The preceding program was an exclusive sports presentation of News Talk 1400 and Light Rock 97.5, News Gazette Media Station.